Now, the existence of purgatory reflects, and this is something that we rarely think about, it reflects both God's justice and His mercy. So the thought of purgatory should not only cause us to fear, but also to love. Because on the one hand, yes, the doctors of the church tell us that all the cruelties that were ever practiced on the martyrs, and this includes the future martyrs under the persecution of Antichrist, which the church fathers say will be the worst sufferings and will be the worst persecution of all, so that the saints who live at that time will be the greatest saints of all time. So he says also, it is said that all of the sufferings that were ever heaped upon men since the beginning of time to the end cannot even be compared to the lightest pain of purgatory. So on the one hand, yes, we should fear purgatory, but yet on the other hand, we should know that, yes, this is a teaching too of the church, that purgatory is a work of God's love for men. One author says that we cannot tell you whether the consolations enjoyed in purgatory are not more abundant than the torments themselves. So he raises that question that there is a possibility that the consolations that God gives you in purgatory may be greater than the torments that you suffer there. Now, the state of the souls in purgatory is not like that of the souls in heaven, where there is joy without pain, yet their state is not like that of the souls in hell, where there is pain without joy. It is a mixture of both, pain and happiness. And when we reflect on the pains of purgatory, the fires that burn there, the separation for a time from the beatific vision, the reflection on those things helps us to understand how terrible is the lightest sin. All of those sins that we say, well, they're not so bad, or I can go to confession, say a little do a little penance for it, and we regard them so lightly that these sins that we regard as light merit in purgatory a pain that is worse than all pain that has ever been given to the whole human race. So upon reflection, then try to tell yourself that this sin is not so bad after all. It's just a venial sin. But on the other hand, we will realize that while there is justice in purgatory, there is also consolation, in that at the moment of death, when we look back to our whole life and see all of our sins, the sins that we committed and but we confessed and did penance for, and we might say, well, what if I do end up in purgatory? The thought of all the consolations of purgatory should give us great courage at the moment of death, that it is a place of suffering, it is true, but not pure suffering. There are consolations. That is the teaching of the Catholic Church on this subject. It should also console us that if we have relatives there in purgatory at this moment, that while they're enduring pains, and we should pray for them that they might be released from these pains, at the same time they are being consoled by God. They're enjoying His consolations. Concerning the fires of purgatory, St. Thomas tells us that the fires of purgatory are of the same kind as those of hell. They burn with the same intensity, and they burn without destroying what they burn. So it has the same intensity, but the difference is this, that purgatory, the fires of purgatory are not eternal. There will be a time when every soul who is there now will escape those fires. One author says that the souls in purgatory burn in a fire that is lit by the breath of divine justice. It is a very terrible thing, these sufferings. But what are the consolations of the souls in purgatory? We know all of the punishments of purgatory, and we read so often and hear so often priests preaching on the sufferings of purgatory. What about the consolations? One of them is the fact that they are already assured, without a doubt, that they are going to heaven, that they have been saved. They deduce from the fact that they do not see the demons, that they are not in the state of the damned, but are rather in purgatory. And they can say with St. Paul, as he so beautifully said once, I am certain that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God. That is the state of the souls in purgatory. And furthermore, you will notice that whenever you have some cross to bear, if your will is opposed to God's, you're not ready to bear this cross, and you complain, all that does is serve to increase the pain that you're already suffering. It makes you more miserable. But the souls in purgatory do not have an opposition to the will of God. They're completely, perfectly, and absolutely resigned to all that God sends them. So they accept it with peace of soul and peace of heart. And rather than complaining about their sufferings there, they bless the hand that sends them these chastisements. And they would wish, if it were God's will, that all of these sufferings might be intensified so much that they could suffer their whole purgatory in an instant, so that they might see God. But yet they know it is not God's will for them, and they accept it without question. Another consolation for the souls in purgatory is that they can see their faults being purified. All of the blemishes of their soul, now that their soul has left their body, is no longer held down, and their vision is no longer clouded by the material body. They see things as they are, now that they're in a spiritual state. They see how terrible their faults were, and their sins, how it ruined their soul, created by God, and they see these souls being purified before their very eyes. And they notice also that these fires that are purifying them lose their intensity in proportion as they consume the faults of their soul. And so each day the soul in purgatory sees its entrance into heaven coming nearer and nearer, and that brings a consolation to them. Now, concerning the place of purgatory, it is that some of the fathers teach that it is in the center of the earth. That is where purgatory is. However, it is also a teaching, and it is proved from the lives of the saints as well, that not all of the souls who have to go through purgatory suffer it in that very place. Some of them, by a special providence of God, are sent back to the earth to suffer purgatory in the place where they sin. So, for example, St. Bernard, who wrote the biography of St. Malachi, he wrote this, told about the story of St. Malachi, how his sister one day appeared to St. Malachi, and his sister had died sometime before. But when she appeared to her brother, he saw her doing purgatory in that cemetery where her grave was. Now, St. Malachi's sister was known to be very vain and gave too much attention to how her hair looked. This is exactly what I've mentioned. Fixing her hair and concerned herself with how she looked. So she was vain. And so as punishment for her vanity, she was sentenced by God to suffer her purgatory in her own grave, where she would witness the corruption of the body that she took so much care of. St. Malachi prayed 30 masses, the Gregorian masses, for the next 30 days for the repose of her soul. She was released from her place of punishment in the cemetery, and then she was sent to the church, to the doors of the church, where she had also sinned by irreverence. And this is a thought for some of you ladies, perhaps, and even men. but ladies especially, with the somewhat slightly immodest dress here. Remember, skirts must be below the knee, whether sitting or standing, and never too tight or anything. Because what happened to this lady was that because she tried to attract attention to herself and how she looked, she drew other people's attention away from the Mass upon sins. And so she was forced to suffer some of her purgatory in the church where she had led others into sin. So St. Malachi offered the 30 more Masses for his sister. And after these, she finally appeared to him in the sanctuary of the church itself in beautiful white robes. And this was a sign that finally she had been released from purgatory, which she had suffered on earth in the places where she had sinned. With regard to the time of purgatory, there is no time in purgatory. It is an eternally present moment. Here, there is time, but not there. But humanly speaking, we say there is time, and that the souls in purgatory will spend many years, if not centuries there, some of them. One lady, this is a true story, she underwent an operation for which she took no anesthetics, nothing to help her through. The only thing she did was to look at an image of the crucified and beg him to help her through. This surgery lasted only 5 minutes, but after the fact, she admitted that those 5 minutes seemed like centuries. And this is how it will be in purgatory, that minutes will seem like days, days will seem like years, and years will seem like centuries. So terrible is the suffering. This is true, we know, because whenever we have terrible physical pains, time seems to go very slowly. But in purgatory, the pains are much, much worse, and your desire to see God is all the greater. And so it seems like it goes by so slowly. So all of this being said, what are our duties that result from the doctrine of purgatory? What does it bring with it? There are two that I will mention. First, with regard to ourselves, we must seek to avoid it. Purgatory, as one author said, and I believe even St. Teresa said, purgatory is a waste of time in this sense, that the souls in purgatory suffer, but they cannot merit. Their time for meriting is over once they die. So it is, in that sense, it is a waste of time. You're suffering, but you cannot merit any more for your heavenly crown. So we must seek to avoid purgatory. We should not be, we must not be like so many of those souls who have the mindset. And I would say the majority of Catholics have this mindset that I will be lucky if I don't make it, if I don't go to hell. So I'll be satisfied with just going to purgatory. St. Teresa once got into an argument with a 67-year-old nun, the sub-prioress there. This nun heard that St. Teresa was telling her novices that they should not look forward to going to purgatory, but should set their sights, their goals high, on going directly to heaven. And this 67-year-old nun disapproved and told St. Teresa this. So St. Teresa said kindly and with charity, "Well, sister, if you expect the judgment of the justice of God, then that is exactly what you'll get." Well, this nun died a few months later, within that same year, and appeared to St. Teresa in a dream. And this nun looked at her, St. Teresa said, and all of this was documented, and the nun looked at her as if she were saying, "Sister, you are right." And then it was revealed that the sister said, "I am here because I did not believe you. I looked for God to be more just than merciful, and that is what I got." But if we trust in His mercy and seek to avoid purgatory, then that is what we will get, if we will it, and if we strive for it. because the mercy of God has arranged our life so that if we use all of the means that he gives us, the crosses, the indulgence prayers of the Rakulta, the sacramentals, if we frequent the sacraments and assist at Mass, if we do little, even just tiny acts of mortification, and say our daily prayers well, and do our duties to the best of our ability, all of these are the means that God has sent us so that we have purgatory here rather than later. God does not want to give us sufferings here on earth only to have us suffer more in the next life. He gives us suffering here so that we have no need to go to purgatory. The second duty brought about by this doctrine is that of praying for the souls that are detained there. We must remember that the devil hates God so much that he will do all he can to keep him from being glorified, even if it's only for a little bit. So what do we see in these years of ours, this generation? We see that what the devil has done is convince the human race, the Protestants, that purgatory does not exist. We see that the Novus Ordo has destroyed the faith of people. Well, if there's no sin and you can do what you want, then why would God send anyone to purgatory? And so the result of all of that, this loss of faith, is the fact that many souls are in purgatory burning because there's no one left who believes, let alone prays, for the souls that are detained there. And the devil has done that so that these souls will be, there will be a greater delay from their entrance into heaven where God is glorified most perfectly. So we, the ones who have the true faith, ought to redouble our devotion to the poor souls and pray for them. Remembering this, that it is not a suggested act of piety to pray for the dead. It is a duty for which one day we'll have to answer. Children must pray for their deceased parents, husbands for their deceased wives, parishioners for their deceased pastors. I think especially of Father Wish, who did so much. It's because of him, really, that we have this church. How often do we remember to pray for him? Or Father Bray, or so many of the others that remained loyal to the true faith. And then, what about those popes? How many of you remember to pray for deceased popes? They had the highest dignity on the face of the earth and the greatest duties on earth. They weren't in charge of merely a convent or a little chapel or a diocese, but the whole entire world. Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, they were all under their jurisdiction, and they have so much to answer for. We ought to remember all of the deceased pontiffs. And if we cannot be moved by a sense of duty to pray for the dead, then, and this is my final point, at least be moved to pray for them out of the thought of the benefits that you will receive if you do pray for them. There are two benefits. One is that if you pray for them and release them from their prison of purgatory, as soon as they get to heaven, at the throne of God, they're praying for you and for your salvation. You will have a special advocate at the very throne of God, and their prayers are so powerful. And the second benefit is this, that, and this is a proven fact, that those who neglect devotion to the poor souls are, when they themselves go to purgatory, forgotten about. Whereas they who are devoted to the poor souls, it is arranged by God that if we should have to go to purgatory, then God will see to it that we are remembered and that our sufferings will be shortened in purgatory. So my dear faithful, today we should contemplate purgatory. We should both fear it and love it. We should think of the pains there and the consolations. And we should remember that we have, perhaps, many family members and friends who are there now suffering such intense pain, and we should never forget to offer prayers for them. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. that perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.